Well, now I had a job pulling on a rope one time.
You hired Earl after Street.
Well, hell was hard to find.
Yeah.
With Robin.
Uh-huh.
And I had a Chevrolet truck then, a Z71. And I cut this long, tall pine.
And we were in a neighborhood. Yeah. Lots of houses, lots of trees. Mm.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Hayden Outbound Podcast. We're Southern Storytellers. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Robin.
I'm Tracy.
We don't need much of an introduction who's on the other side, except for this is Tracy, a.k.a. Earl Risher, the better half.
Well, the one that definitely has all the truth.
The truthful half of the Risher household. Y'all are in for a treat. I say every week because it is a treat to us every week to tell stories.
We enjoy it.
But this is going to be really special, I think. We're going to start off with some lighthearted stories from Brother Robin, because I think y'all be mad if he didn't tell a couple of stories with us. But then it's going to get a little bit more serious, just a touch, because so many people have questions about Brother Robin, a.k.a. Brother Blink. And tonight, we're going to answer those questions after we have a little bit of fun with some storytelling. And I think what we're going to title this is How to Live with a Man That Don't Blink. All right, Brother Rob, it's been a long time, some several weeks, since I've heard one of your good stories. Won't you lead off so Earl can get greased up over there and get loosened a little bit?
Can't wait no longer.
You know how you accumulate things? You don't know how some things arrive. You just got there and you hang on to them.
Oh, yeah.
Well, some way, somehow, I accumulated a 9-ball from a pool set. And for years, we kept saying it just laid around the house. Nobody ever threw it away. And one day, I finally found something to do with it. I had an 86 Ford four-wheel drive truck. Had 351 Cleveland, big block 351. Had dual exhaust. I loved the truck. It had dual gas tanks, too. It was magical. You could be down to that point in time where you start, come on, baby, come on, come on, baby, come on. And you could just flip the switch, and you could switch over to another gas tank, it'd be full. I loved the truck. I took my 9-ball, my beloved 9-ball, and I put what we call a butterfly. I don't know what the real name was. I drilled a hole in that 9-ball, and I screwed the 9-ball on my gear shifter. And I got me some buckshot mudders. They fit just right. The truck was high, but not obnoxious. And it was just a good-looking truck, and it drove good. It had plenty of power, and it go through the mud. The short wheel base had two boxes. And I was in, at that time in my life, I could really move. And I was climbing trees and trimming them in people's yard by houses and things. I had an old boy I got out of jail that morning to help me. We called him Street. I forget his real name, but I had climbed a tree all the way to the top, cut all the limbs off, cut the top out, and just had a pole, about an 80-foot pole. And I tied the rope to the top. And I told Streak, I said, Streak, I want you to pull this rope. You ain't got to pull it hard, but as I'm cutting it, I want you to pull it, make sure it stays off his house. He said, boss, I don't know about this. I said, yeah, Street, you can do it. So I bedded the tree out. Most people call that cutting a watermelon slice out. I bedded the tree out the way I wanted it to go. And this ain't the first time I've done this. I've done this a lot. Something I saw in there. I saw Street out there. He was tugging on that rope. I stopped. I said, Street, you ain't got to do that. Just put your body weight against it. You got 80 foot of leverage there. My mind was on getting that tree down safely. But I forgot about my truck. And I parked it right there. I went back to my saw, and I got a man named Dave Bell to sharpen my saw, and he was throwing out chunks like quarters. And it was going through that pine tree. It was about a 25, 26-inch tree. And I saw a tree over there under some azalea bushes with his hands on his head. He let go of my rope. And when I did that, I just sunk my saw in so it'd go away from the house. What I didn't realize was I put it right in a direct path of my 86 four-wheel drive Ford Love truck. And that thing fell and centered my truck long ways. And that nine ball I was talking about was the highest point of my truck. The tree did not hit the gear shift. I had over in first, all the way parked in first. So it was over to the left just a little bit. And that tree went right down beside it, blowed out all four tires, cracked the rim, piece of motor shot out, and that nine ball just shining in the sun there. And that's my ride home.
It was supposed to be your ride home.
It ain't no more.
My lovely bride, my soulmate, my helpmate, my eternal everything. And I said, baby.
Well, wait. Let me start from there. So I'm teaching.
Uh-huh.
I'm teaching. We're in the town, and I'm teaching junior high. And so my principal comes and says, "Ms. Risher, your husband is on the phone." And so, I mean, Robin never calls me. So I'm like, oh, no, you know, mm-hmm. So my head is going, you know, the principal came and got me out. You know, Robin's on the phone. And at this time, we had a little girl in our church that was in St. Jude's Le Bonheur Hospital. And she was just
eating up with cancer
and was not given any hope at all. And so, you know, I had her on my mind, had my children on my mind. So I go to the phone and I said, Robin. And he said, Tracy. I said, Robin. He said, oh, Tracy. I said, Robin, what is it? And he said, oh, Tracy. I said, just tell me what it is.
Yeah.
And he said, I cut a tree down on my truck. And I don't know what it was, but it just made me release all the stress and all the fear that I had. And I thought it was really, really funny. And so I started laughing. I couldn't even hold the phone still because I was laughing so much. And he got mad and started.
Yeah, my truck. The highest point on my truck was this nine ball attached to the highest point. Everything else was just about treetop high.
Well, but you were happy.
I don't know why.
There's lots of reasons.
Right. I mean, I had all these fears going through my mind. Mm-hmm. And when he told me that he cut the tree down on his truck, I didn't know. I didn't know how bad it was.
Yeah. She didn't know how bad it was. She saw it through my eyes as I described it. When she got there and saw how bad it was, she said, oh.
Yeah.
So you said, at that time, you said, I need you to come pick me up.
Yeah.
What about Street? Where's he at?
Street got fired shortly after.
Oh.
We terminated Street's employment.
You let him go back.
Yeah.
Go back to the parole officer.
I let him go back to jail.
You can't have a man that ain't going to pull on the rope. He had one job and couldn't even do it.
Well, now, I had a job pulling on a rope one time.
You hired Earl after Street.
Well, hell was hard to find.
Yeah.
With Robin.
Uh-huh.
And I had a Chevrolet truck then, a Z71. And I cut his long, tall pine.
And we were in a neighborhood. Lots of houses, lots of trees.
Mm.
And I told Tracy, I hooked this up to a truck. I topped the tree in. This is the same, but this one's about 9 feet tall. It ain't about big around as you, about twice as big around as your leg. And I told Tracy, I said, Tracy, the only thing can happen bad is if you break the rope with a truck. I said, I don't think a truck will break his rope. It's a real heavy-duty rope, metal in it and all that, cable and all that. I said, I really don't think you can out in this wet grass. But it's a four-wheel drive, and she hooks it. And I started cutting the tree, and I saw some of one just right, saw one run just right. Some reason I stopped. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Now, I'm out in the, I'm diagonal in the road.
She's serious about it. She's 10 and 2.
I'm diagonal on the road. Traffic has stopped on both sides of the road.
And you hear hollering.
I hear something, right.
Mm-hmm. She hears, go, go, go. And that old T-Shirt was out there just about, hum, hum, hum.
I floored it. It was down all the way.
And that rope, I said, oh, Lord, she's going to break his rope. It's going to flop right back on this house. I sired that saw down in there. It started banana peeling. I don't know what the real term is for, but it's dangerous. It knocked your head off.
Yeah.
And that rope held, though. And we lived to cut some more trees.
I did not cut any more trees.
That was your last day as a driver.
That wrapped up Earl's assistant.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. And she heard, go, go, go.
I think we got a new shirt. Brother Blink's Tree Service.
I cut a bunch of them.
Always hiring.
Yeah. Hiring and inquiring side.
Inquiring side.
Most people didn't go back a second day with Robin.
I understand why.
And he, I mean, he got all, we got cousins. You know, we hired young boys. We hired older guys. We tried everybody, but most of them wouldn't go back a second time.
One and done.
One and done with Rob.
Oh, no. Brian Lewis helped me all the time. Till I jumped out of the tree on him because I got in them bumblebees that time.
Yeah, Brian.
Are you going to tell that?
Yeah.
Huh?
Are you going to tell about that since you just opened that
door?
Well,
I had a rope on me. I said, grab the rope, and just jumped out of the tree because I cut a limb off. And as it came down, it just bumblebees just boiled out. It was an oak. It's doughty. And just bumblebees just boiled out of the thing. I wasn't staying up over there.
It was doughty.
Yeah. Holla.
Mm-hmm. I never heard of that.
You ain't heard of oak tree being doughty?
No.
Well, boy, y'all need to get some culture.
Yeah. It was
we learned
dirty.
Something new tonight.
That's how my four-year-old says dirty. I thought that's what he was saying. It was dirty. It was doughty.
No, doughty is holla.
Earl, we love Robin's stories, obviously. But we want to hear one of your stories.
Well, what about the first time that I ever laid eyes on Mr. No Blinken?
Oh, what a specimen. Glorious day. I can't wait to hear about this.
And I just want to say that, you know, I've listened to all of Robin's.
We got witnesses to all this.
I've listened to all of Robin's podcast, and sometimes Robin can stretch, you know, a little bit, but most of it have been true.
I have to say, a little tension on it.
Yeah, he just, you know, just puts adds a little bit to it. Most of it, the gist of it's all been true.
Gotcha.
So far.
Right.
So I'm going to say going forward, but so far. So this one's going to be hard for a lot of people to believe, but it is the truth.
All right, let's hear it.
All right. So I went straight out of high school. I had planned on going straight to Mississippi State. And so all summer long, I'd been working to go to Mississippi State, went to Mississippi State, had my classes. But for somehow or another, I decided not to go to Mississippi State. And so the day before school started, I said, well, you know what? I just go to East Central Community College. That's our community college. I'm from Philadelphia, Mississippi. So I decided to go the day before school started. And I was working at Walmart. And at Walmart, I had Thursdays off. And so that was the day school was going to start, was on a Thursday. So I went to East Central, got my classes all that first day. And one of my good friends, Lovey, said, hey, stay the night with me. She was staying there. I was just going to commute, work at Walmart and, you know, live at home because I hadn't made any plans, didn't have roommates. And I said, well, it is Thursday. I have the night off. And I said, I don't have any clothes. She said, oh, you can wear some of my clothes. She said, just stay bunk in the room with me. So we're having a dance. It's first night. We're having a dance.
We had Meet the Warrior night.
It was Meet the Warrior night. And it was
and
a dance.
A dance.
Meet the Warrior night. And then a dance. So I go in and I get dressed. Lovey, I wear some of Lovey's clothes. And I get dressed and there's a lot of girls, a lot of hairspray, 1988, a lot of stuff going on, makeup. So I get dressed a little early and I go start walking around East Central's campus. And they have a hill where they're setting up for the dance. And so there's a lot of people, there's a lot of football players out there.
Hey, meet the warrior night.
Well, y'all was helping.
Yeah.
Y'all was helping set up for the dance.
Oh, yeah.
They was helping bring in the music, the equipment. So they had all the football boys down there. So one of my other really good friends, Donna, she played basketball for East Central, and she was a sophomore. So she had been down there a year. So we were standing on top of the hill watching the football team put all the equipment on the stage and getting everything ready. And I said, Donna, who was that number 26 down there?
Mm-hmm. Caught her eye.
And she said, oh, she said, he's a sophomore. Said, I had a class with him. She said, oh, it's something like Batman and a bird. She said, oh, Robin. His name's Robin.
Batman.
That's how he introduced himself. He's Batman's friend. And
oh, my goodness.
That was his thing. That was his calling at East Central. So she said, oh, do you want to meet him? And I said, no, I'm not going to meet him tonight, but I will marry him one day.
That's what you said in
that
moment.
That's what I said that night before ever speaking to him, ever seeing him.
Spoke that into existence.
That's what I said.
And then she starts talking.
Wait, hold on.
This is my story. This is Tracy's story.
This is my story.
It's Earl's story.
That's right. And so we went on to meet the warrior. Never met him. I started dating another guy on the football team. And
he barred.
Oh, wait, we ain't to that.
Hold on, Rob.
This is my story. And so, but.
Don't be butting in. That's right. You sit there and be a sheep, not a goat.
But I did go home after that night, and I got a calendar, and I had little stickers, and I made a calendar. So whenever I would see Robin at school, I'd put a little heart on the sticker. And sometimes we would pass one another and I would say hi and he may say hi to me. I'd put a little smiley face and I'd put spoke with Robin today. And so I kept this up. And then one day I was still dating this guy. And one night the guy was from Georgia, so he didn't have a car and I was still commuting. But we had decided to go to Union Country Day. And so Tim had asked me, say, hey, will you come pick me up and I'll take you out to Country Day. So I went and picked him up, and I was sitting at his dorm. I saw Robin, and I was like, oh my goodness, that's Robin. There he is. You know, we said hi to one another. We've never stopped and spoke with one another. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's Robin. Oh my goodness. And so I see Tim with Robin, and I'm like, oh, Tim knows Robin. Okay. Well, of course they're on the football team. And then I see Tim and Robin walking down the steps out of the dorm and walking to the car. And I'm like, what in the world?
What is happening? My worst nightmare.
I know this. The guy that I'm going to marry is walking with the guy that I'm currently dating. What is going on? And so I'll let you finish telling.
Clayton never did have no money. And he borrowed $10 from me to take her out with. But all I had was a 20. And I wasn't going to give him all 20 of my 20. So he had to go get my 20 broke so he could have 10, I could have 10. And so we went out there to ride to this quick stop to get my 20 broke.
So you make change for a 20.
To take me out so he didn't have $10 yet.
It's for another guy to take your future wife out on a date.
So he got in the back seat. I was nervous again. I was sweating. I was like, oh my goodness, is this Robin in the back seat? I don't think I said a word to him because I was so nervous. And so so Tim and I went out and we dated a little while longer and then we broke up. And so in October, I'll tell a little bit more of the story, but in October they had a homecoming dance. And so again, Lovey said, I was still commuting, and Lovey said, stay again with me. And go to the homecoming dance. I said, well, sure, I'll do that. And so we got dressed, went to the homecoming dance. I was down the dance floor. Dancing was about to leave. And I saw Robin out on the dance floor dancing with another girl.
You mean Batman's friend.
Batman's friend and the bird. He introduced himself by using both of them. And so I saw Robin dancing with the girl, but I saw him leave. And I saw Robin walking off by himself. And I said, well, this is my chance. It's now or never. I've been keeping this calendar. It's now or never. So I positioned myself to where I know Robin's going to be walking by. So when he walked by, what did I do, Rob?
Poked me.
I poked him. And I said, hey. And he said, hey.
And then I think it's Bon Jovi.
You said, you want to dance?
Yeah.
And I said, sure. So there wasn't anything music playing on then. So, but we went to the dance floor waiting on the next song. And the next song was
Wanted Dead or Alive.
So that is our marriage theme song, Wanted Dead or Alive.
That was what you wanted him, dead or alive?
Dead or alive. I was in for him. And so after the song, he said, you want to go ride around? And I said, sure. He said, you want to go in your car? I said, sure. I said, do you know who I am? He said, yeah, I know who you are. So I said, well, if you know who I am, then you lead me to my car. He didn't know who I was.
Oh, no.
He thought I was another girl.
Robin!
And he led me to that car. And I said, you really don't know who I am, do you? But we got together that night and
we had our first date, which is another story.
Yeah, we can't tell that story just yet.
We
can't tell that
story yet. We'll get to it as soon as we can.
Y'all won't believe the first date story.
But this is the prequel.
This is, he asked me out that. It was a Thursday night, and he asked me out for that was a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
That dance was on a Tuesday night. And so he asked me out for Friday night. So that is another unbelievable story. But
did Robbie say, I don't know who you are now, but I'm going to know.
No, he didn't.
I'm going to learn.
He didn't know what was going to happen in his life with me at that time. Mm-hmm. But I did. And so it came true. I saw him one.
Y'all got me nervous over him. I'm
going back. What are you nervous for?
Because he almost fouled up. He did. Yeah.
He almost messed
several
it up.
Several times he broke up with me a couple of times.
Robin!
Yes, you did, Robin.
Uh-oh.
You did too.
We do some counseling here on the show.
We do. We are here to mend these relationships, yeah. Robin. Do you owe her an apology?
As Heavy said, a fair maiden has never trodden the red clay hills of Neshoba County. She's a finest I know of.
Well, but you did break up with me because you went out with another girl while we were dating.
Well, I was in Reno, Nevada. It's,
you still did it.
That's even worse.
He almost filed up, but I stayed true.
Reno is not Las Vegas.
Everything that happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, not in Reno.
Reno comes home with you, didn't it? Comes back. Well, I'm excited to have the prequel, and I'm even more anticipatory of this first date. They've been talking about it. Robin's been wanting to tell that story for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
So here's the only problem. When you build up.
He's built it up.
It's so big at this point that, Robin, this is going to have to be monumental for you to go
it
above.
It is.
Okay. Well, the Hayden, Alabama podcast world, you heard it here first. We got the prequel, and it's promised. We're going to get the first date story on down the road.
When Bird Met Earl. That's what that one's going to be called. Huh?
I don't know what it's going to be called. We're going to have to think of something. But before we go to our next story, one thing we want to ask is we've been trying to do this a little bit better. If you enjoy the show, what we'd like to ask you to do is hit the subscribe button, like it. Share it with somebody who you think will enjoy this Southern storytelling. And it's one of the greatest gifts that you can give to us is a subscribe and a share. So just want to encourage you to do that.
Remember, it's free. We don't charge you nothing.
Total cost.
$0.
$0. Well, let's have another story over there, Rob.
I want to tell about marrying someone who is just as competitive as you are. It's not all peaches and cream, so to speak.
More competitive than you are. or I should say better.
Ooh.
Better at things than he is.
See what I mean?
Man. Yep. I think it's confirmed.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I've been trying to breed her to see who can make the most three toes out of 10 for 40 years now. I ain't beat her but one time. That's for me mooning her and throwing keys at her and everything. Yeah. She can make three toes.
I played basketball in high school, so yeah.
You could make the free throw.
Yeah, I can shoot.
40 years, statistically, I mean, you've defied the odds. Yeah. I mean, you must be that much better than him.
Oh, I am.
Like that guy needs a transmission.
Yeah.
Hitting balls. But yeah, catching balls. We played a lot of games when we first got married.
We were so young, we'd come home from work and go outside and play together. But we were very competitive. And one thing we were competitive in, playing cards. We come in after we got dark and played rummy. I don't know if y'all know how to play rummy, but rummy is a game of points, and an ace counts 15 points.
If it's played as an ace.
An ace is an ace.
Not if it's played on a two.
Wait a minute.
An ace is an ace. It counts 15 points.
We can't have DVs on the show now. We're not going to get that to that point.
Well, we almost had one that this day.
Yeah, it escalated like the plow dirt guy. It escalated. And it came to the fact of throwing suitcases in yards and threatening legal action against the other one.
Game of rummy.
She was going to walk off from me. Now, you don't walk off from me.
We have two very different
tactics.
Yes, when we get angry. I like, leave me alone, me be by myself. I usually will come around, think, you know, and I'll even sometimes apologize first. Sometimes. But Robin is one, he wants to keep talking.
Keep talking this
he
out.
Wants to make sure his point is heard. Mm-hmm. He wants it settled right then.
I don't know if I want you to come back or not.
His way. So, the game of rummy, Robin played the ace as a one. He played it on a two.
And so ace is an ace.
It's supposed to count 5 points. Now, if you play
it on two, Robin.
He played it on a two. If you played on the king,
it would be an ace.
It's an ace. So, it's 15 points. And so, he would not.
If you get it caught in your hand, how many points are it going to be?
It's 15 points if you get it caught in your hand. But if you play it on a two, it's 5 points. So, it really, really got bad. So, I went to the bedroom and locked the door because I wanted to be done. He would not stop talking. He just would not. And so I thought I had escaped. I was going to get a little piece of quiet. All of a sudden I heard bzzz, bzzz.
Had that D-wall.
Bzzz.
I take the hinges.
The door off the hinges and said, I'm not through talking to you. That's when the suitcases went out in the yard. But yeah.
You said he was persistent.
Yes.
We have seen a touch of that.
But nothing like that.
Took the door off the hinges.
Did you finish the conversation?
No.
I did.
You got yours out.
Suitcases went out in the yard and yeah. I told him I was going back to mom and daddy's. And he told me the lawyer he was using. I told him the lawyer I was using.
Over.
Jay, over a one hand of cards.
No, over one card in a deck, and how many points did you count?
Who would have won the game?
I ain't got no idea.
Don't know who.
This wasn't like the deciding factor of the winner or nothing. This is wow.
I promised of our head she never caught up anyway.
I doubt it. That's why he was wanting to count as 15. It's probably I was beating him so bad he would try to get back in the game.
But so, how did it end?
I don't even remember.
So they remember. See, normally when couples fight, they remember how it ends, but they don't remember what it was even over. This is completely opposite. They remember exactly what it was over, but don't remember.
Do you remember?
No, we hugged me. Yeah.
I don't have a clue.
I'm baffled, but I'm not. I'm really running through my head trying to think about some of the dumb stuff Bethany and I have. I know they're there.
Well, you got that right. It's dumb stuff.
But I can't.
Anything that would come between a husband and a wife is dumb stuff.
Yeah. And now looking back, 35 years later, we've been married 35, so we've been dating 38 years. It was so silly.
Man, so stupid.
Crazy.
Such a waste of energy.
Yeah. And we don't even remember half the time what we fought about. And yeah, it's.
Now, he's had to bust the door down one other time. He told us about that, though.
Yeah, when you thought to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You thought Jack the Ripper
was out.
You was out and I was in.
Yeah.
You was keeping him out and he was trying to come in.
Now, 35 years, and the Lord's blessed y'all with some children. And Brother Robin's been wanting to tell some stories about his kids. Obviously, one of the best stories that he's told is the one with him and Buck on the river when they couldn't get the motor cranked. But that's the only one that I can think of that he's told. So, Robin, tell us another one about your kids.
We came home and Jake had a broke toe, my middle son.
Two broke toes.
Two broke toes. His toe looked like this.
Taped up.
No, it wasn't taped up. They just liked that.
That's real broke.
Well, you just start in the middle of the store. We went out on a date. Casey, our oldest, we have a daughter named Casey, and we didn't leave her with the boys often, but Casey was 16, 17 years old. I mean, junior or senior in high school, because that's
when she had a boyfriend.
And we had moved to Weston when her junior year in high school. So she was capable of keeping the boys. But you know, we didn't do that a lot because they fought. Mm. But Jake, and then we had Jake. So if Casey was 17, 16, Jake was about 14. And then Buck would have been about 10. And so we went out on a date. Is this the night they broke the TV too?
Yeah.
Okay. So he came in and Jake was sitting in the recliner chair with a blanket over his feet. And Casey said, "We've had a little incident. Buck was in bed." And so we didn't see Buck yet. So we came in and we said, "Well, what's the incident?" And first we see we had a huge, large screen TV that sat on the floor. Huge. And we saw that there was a booty impression in the TV.
Mm.
So they had fought over what channel to change. But Jake had went outside. The story goes that Jake had went outside and was roping. He was real big into roping, and he had the dummy head of a cow, you know, of a bull. And he was outside roping, and Casey was doing the clothes. And she told Jake to come in and do the clothes. And Jake would not come in and do the clothes. So she went out there and was going to physically bring Jake in the house and do the clothes.
He had a pair of flip-flops on.
Well, he roped her. Mm-hmm. And so they were wrestling around on the carport, and the flip-flop was slick, and the flip-flop, his foot shot out from under him. Anyway, broke two toes. So he goes in, he hurts his two toes. So they go in the house, and they're in panic.
They're in a panic mode
because they broke the TV and they broke Jake's toes. So Casey calls her boyfriend at the time.
About to get broke.
Yeah. Casey calls her boyfriend at the time and says, "Help, Jake's toes, this is what they look like. They to the side, what should I do?" And he says, "Well, they're probably just dislocated. So if you'll pop them back in."
No, he came over and did it.
No, I don't think he did.
I think he did.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think he just told Casey.
She's right and I'm wrong.
I think so. Now, Casey and Jake may have to tell us, but I think he told her over the phone. Because we wouldn't allow him to come over. We wouldn't home.
No, he was.
No, I don't think so.
Covert.
No, I don't think so. Covert. They were scared of you. I think he was too scared of you to do that. I don't think so. He was a good guy. So anyway, Casey did that. She got the two toes because they were willing to do anything because Robin was a disciplinarian. The kids
laid the law down.
He had several tactics that
he was Batman's friend.
He was. He had several tactics that the kids knew when Daddy got serious, it was serious.
We do them grass drills sometimes.
Yep. So Casey popped the two toes back where they did not pop back. So
it looked like this.
I mean, yeah, they were totally sideways. So we said, "Let us see Jake." And Jake, and they didn't tell us that's what happened to begin with. They said that Jake just slipped. We didn't get the whole story to begin with. And Jake pulled back the covers, and we saw those two toes sticking straight out. And this was late at night, and we were like, "Well, you know, we'll just take you to the doctor in the morning." Well, we go get in bed, and the longer we laying in bed, the more the story just didn't seem right. And so at this time, Buck, he's the baby of the family. We knew Buck could not tell a lie. He could not. 10 years of his life.
Abe Lincoln.
He could not tell a lie. So I said, "We can get Buck." And Buck was in bed, so I knew something was up. They put Buck to bed. And I said, "We need to get Buck down and find out what was the truth." So we get Buck, wake Buck up, bring him into our bedroom, and finally get the gist of the story.
And found out everything. And we ended up taking Jake to the emergency room, and it was another whole story. But he had two broke. The X-ray clearly showed that when Casey tried to relocate his toe, she separated bone and almost gave him a compound fracture.
Mm. Did he have to have surgery?
They put a pencil stick in there and wrapped it up.
And she just grew right back together.
Good to go now. You know, a lot of people asked about our kids' names. Because Jake and Buck are our two boys. And Casey, we were actually watching Scooby-Doo when I was pregnant with Casey. And that's where we got Casey's name, was off of Scooby-Doo.
Casey Kasem, who does the voice of Shaggy.
So it's got a little animal, note to it. But Jake, Robin got to name Jake. We had a thing where we would take turns having the first name and having the middle name. And so Robin chose Jake because it's a young turkey. When he grows up, he's going to call him Tom. But then, and so I got to name his middle name, and his middle name is my maiden name, which is Lad. And then with Buck, Robin got the middle name, which is Buck, and that is his real name. A lot of people say, Buck had a teacher one day, says, we do not do nicknames in this class.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I had to write her a note, said, Buck is not a nickname. That is his real name. If you'd like to look at his birth certificate, we'll be glad to send that to you. But, our children.
I need nicknames.
What's his first name?
His first name is Garrett.
Garrett Buck.
With one R and one T. Everybody in the family.
This is important.
I'm a little OCD sometimes. And everybody in the family has five letters in the first name, four letters in the middle name. And so Garrett, we drew Garrett's, Buck's name out of a hat. We had three names when we went to the hospital, and we drew Garrett out. But it has one R and one T. So everybody in the family has five letters, first name, four letters, middle name.
I like it.
Kind of principles. You got to stick with them.
Virginia didn't have a name until they forced us. They were facing discharges.
Really?
Come in the room.
I didn't know about that.
And said, you got to name this baby. We just couldn't settle on anything. And finally, Virginia. I said, I like it. She said, I like it too. Thank God.
I thank the Lord.
The kid's got a name.
Got to get out of here.
Well, Jake's name wasn't actually Jake when we went to the hospital. You want to tell that story, Rob?
No.
I don't remember.
What did you think he was a boy?
Oh.
No, it ain't because he don't want to tell it. He just don't remember it.
I've never known Robin not to want to tell a story.
He said
He didn't get the lead in there, did you, Rob?
No.
Okay.
But Jake was not supposed to be Jake. He's supposed to be, I don't know what we're going to name
Jessica.
Her. Jessica.
Oh.
And
wait a minute.
They got it wrong.
We went to all Jake's doctor's appointment. I had Casey. Had a girl.
She really wanted a boy. For her daddy to have a son. I wanted a boy. We all wanted a boy. And we went up there and that doctor said, it's not a boy, it's a girl.
Circled. It's a girl. Mm-hmm. And so I got a little upset.
Just a little bit. Just a tad bit.
Throwing luggage out the window upset.
Like, would not allow anything blue in the house. All the shower had to be pink. I just got... This is
fine, we're going to be having a girl. We're having a girl.
This is what we're going to have. It's called girls, so we're not even going
to
discuss names.
But the Lord spoke to me somewhere along the way and said, it's not a girl, it's a boy.
You got to get a little more specific about that now, Robin. You can't just say the Lord spoke to me somewhere along the way. There's got to be a story there.
Well, I was just praying, Lord, if that woman don't have a boy, she's going to kill me.
I did get a little upset for 8 months.
Wow.
And I said, baby, it's going to be a boy. I said, it's before he's born. She said, look at the sonogram. Look. I said, I don't care. It's going to be a boy. And I'm on video documenting the fact that he was going to be a boy before he was born. And the heart rate tipped it off, too. And the Lord told me, which was the main thing.
He did say the whole time it was a boy.
Whole time.
That would make me mad because I knew it was a girl.
No, I've seen. Yeah, the doctor said.
The doctor said it was a girl. Quit saying it's a boy.
I don't care what the doctor said. It's a boy.
That's what he would say.
And we got out here and got us a fine baby boy.
How about that?
That didn't have a name.
Didn't have a name. We flipped a vanilla wafer for Jake's name.
Never done that?
Mm-hmm.
Top
or Top bottom? Was one. Hunter is either going to be Hunter or Jake. And so we flipped vanilla wafer. I can't remember which was
His
which.
Name's actually Jacob.
Yeah.
Because of the five letters.
Mm-hmm. Got to fit that.
Yeah.
First and foremost.
Well, I wasn't going to do the five letters. I didn't know that yet. But was the one when
well,
I was like,
had to,
right,
yeah.
When I was writing out our name, it just clicked with me. Oh, we all have five letters. First name, mm-hmm. we all have four letters. That's just the way it worked. We didn't plan it until Buck. And so then with Buck picking his first name, I was like, it has to be five letters.
Yeah.
So that's why it's spelled a little bit different than all the other Garretts in the world.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services, or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
Guys, it's all right, y'all. I'd like to turn the corner here and get a little more serious.
Uh-oh, Rob finna hit the serious gear.
Well, I'm going to let Earl do most of it because I need to let some folks know some things. I used to be very, very active. I mean, very active. I used to be fairly athletic. And I had some physical strength. Not that it wasn't a lot of folks stronger than I was, but I had some physical strength, some capabilities. And now I don't because I have Parkinson. That's why I don't blink. Now, it's... I'll let her tell about masking and everything.
Yeah. A Parkinson, I didn't know this until Robin got Parkinson, but you can have the tremors where people shake a whole lot, or you can have the stiffness. And Robin has the stiffness to where he just can't move. He, to turn his head, he has to move his whole body. He shuffles. He can't pick his feet up. But we didn't know anything about Parkinson until... about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
It was when Robin was 42 and I was 40. But a little bit about Robin. Robin's done a lot of things in his life. You know, he was, he went in Army basic training. He was in the Mississippi National Guard for 12 years. He's been a police officer in New Orleans. He's cut down trees. He's worked in a lumber mill. We've always had gardening. I mean, he can just do
killed
a lot.
Every turkey in Northeast Mississippi.
I mean, just has been hunting all over the United States and has just always been very, very active. Well, and 15 years ago, I don't remember. So that would be 20?
Yeah,
when was I? 40? I can't remember. But anyway, 1 year, I started noticing Robin not picking his feet up. And I would get on to him. I said, Robin, you are walking like an old man. If you don't start picking up your feet, you're not going to be able to walk in a year. And, you know, we talked about weight. You know, can you not pick your feet up because you're overweight? What is going on? Well, in December of that year, we had someone to get married from one of our churches. And it was a real good friend of ours, daughter. And she had asked Robin to do the wedding. And so we went there to rehearsal night. And two men in the church, Jackie Dollar and Gerd Warren, they pulled me out to the front of the church and they were crying. And they said, Tracy, why have you not told us that Robin's had a stroke? And I said, he has not had a stroke. And they said, something's wrong with Brother Robin. Said, please get him checked out. And I said, well, and they said, no, you got to promise us you'll get him checked out. And I said, okay, I promise. But I didn't know how in the world I was going to do it because he didn't go to doctors. You know, he was a strong man.
Yeah, nothing wrong with me.
Yeah, you know, he didn't want nothing to be the matter with him, you know. And so I was like, what is going to happen? Well, the Lord just, you know, the Lord works. So in January of that year, Robin decided, hey, you know, I think I'm going to take an EMT class and, you know, start working on an ambulance or, you know, get my certificate that I could do, you know, EMT. And so I said, oh, I said, that will be great. I said, I think you need to have a physical before you can do that. And he said, well, I'll look into it. So about a month rocked on, because it is February, about a month rocked on. And he said, you're right, I do have to have a physical. So I'm just going to go up to the local doctor and get a physical. Well, in the meantime, somebody had mentioned to me, have y'all looked at Parkinson? People had started noticing. And someone said, have you looked at Parkinson? I said, I've never heard of Parkinson before. But I Googled it, and it was about 20 signs of Parkinson, and Robin fit every one of them.
Let me say this. So if you got it, don't Google it.
Yeah.
Don't Google it. It's scary to death. Don't look at it. Talk to somebody about it. I just want to put that in there.
But I didn't tell Rob anything about Parkinson because I knew that he wouldn't go to the doctor if I said, I think you have Parkinson. So I just rocked on, yeah, let's get a physical. He said, well, yeah, I'm going to get one. So every few days I said, you got that physical plan? Well, not yet, but I'm going to. So finally he went to the doctor and he called me at work and he said, Tracy, the doctor thinks I have Parkinson. And I said, and I Googled it and I have everything they said. And he said, he's sending me to a neurologist tomorrow. Will you go with me? I said, well, sure I will. And about that, you know, I knew, I figured he did, but we went to a neurologist the next day and he got diagnosed that day with Parkinson. And so the doctor it was in Mississippi, it was in Jackson. The doctor said, oh, you know, Parkinson people have a good 15 years. And said, we have medicine that's going to help for 15 years. And said, you can lead the same life that you live now. And probably in 15 years, we'll have a cure. You know, Michael J. Fox had came out. He's getting all this money. He has Parkinson. So a lot of money's starting to go into looking for cures for Parkinson. So we were very, very hopeful. And the next month, I had earaches all my life. And a lot of people don't know this about me because I don't say it, but the next month, that it just goes to tell you, you know, sometimes you go through valleys, and they're really, really steep valleys. So I have a really bad ear infection, and I'd hurt all my life with earaches. Never had headaches, but had awful earaches. Well, I go to an ear specialist, and they find a tumor in my head. And they said that it'd probably been there for years and years and years and years. So we get a little sidetracked with the Parkinson because we don't know if they send me to the Cancer Institute, and they had to get a biopsy, and a lot of things happened, but we had that. It was the size of a snuff can.
In your ear?
In my head. They said that if you put your hand on the top and you right through your ear, it was setting on my carotid artery. So I was supposed to, we had this naval doctor, and she was a straightforward naval, no jokes. Robin tried to make her laugh. Never. But she was straightforward. She said, this is what we're going to have. This is what we got to do. And so the day of the surgery come in and she said, you know, your surgery is going to be three parts, a 12-hour surgery, three parts. We're going to go in. She said, I'm going to cut you. They cut me from there about 200, 300 stitches. She said, I'm going to open you up and I'm going to take a quick look at your tumor, but we know where it's at. They had several other doctors in there. She said, because if I nick your carotid artery, you're going to bleed out of the table. She said that morning.
That's encouraging too.
So she said, but we're going to take a quick look. And then she said, we're going to saw your jaw, your lower jaw out, jawbone. We're going to set it to the side. She said, because I need work. We need to work in it. I need space to work. So we're going to take your jaw out. And then she said, I'm going to go in there. She said, you've got nerves already entwined with the tumor. So we're just going to cut the nerves. You're probably going to lose your voice. And you're probably going to not be able to blink your left eye.
She's a non-blinker.
Yeah, I was a non-blinker. You're right. And so, but, you know, the tumor had to come out. So we just said we would live with it. Well, we had people praying for me all over, you know, all over Mississippi, the churches we had been in. Everybody was praying for me. And then she said, you know, then we'll close you back up. You'll go to ICU for 4 or 5 days. You'll have a feeding tube, take about a 6 month recovery, you know, but this is just something that this is just what it's going to be. And so we had prayed up and I had a peace about God. He'd given me a peace. And so I was okay with it. Well, went to sleep and all I said to myself, Tracy, all you got to do is go to sleep and wake up. That's all you got to do. Go to sleep and wake up. So I start waking up and I can hear people talking and I hear Robin saying, they didn't take her jawbone out. They didn't take her jawbone out. She's not in ICU. And I was like, oh, you know. But anyway, long story short, she said that when she opened me up, the tumor was sitting right there. And so they did cut some nerves out. I didn't have to wear a patch for 3 or 4 days. I couldn't blink my left eye. I don't have feeling in my left side of my tongue. And so sometimes my words get jumbled up and I can't pronounce some of the words I used to pronounce, but that's really, the blinking came back. But we had that to deal with, and you know, and Parkinson. So we went through, a valley, and both of us had some health issues, but we rocked on in probably about a year. The doctor had told Robin, said, you got three types of medicine, and you got about 5 years on every type of medicine. And 1 year he had went through one type of the medicine that was supposed to have lasted 5 years, but he went through with 1 year. Well, the doctor says, because he's young, that Parkinson is generally an elderly man disease. And so when you get it younger, this may happen. So within 2 years, he had went through the other 5 years. So what was supposed to last 10 years only lasted him 2 years. But we've done some things, and he has a great doctor in New Orleans, and he's still going strong. But, Parkinson has changed his life. And he 15 years, that was supposed to be how long the life of Parkinson lives, because most people don't live 15 years with Parkinson because they're elderly. And so, they dive other things. So we're in new waters, but the Parkinson has taken a toll and is taking a toll. He,
not near as active.
Not near as active. The last doctor's appointment, they've talked about he's not going to get any better. It's just going to get worse. And so we've about done, all that we can do. And I'm saying all of that to say that, again, God opens doors. Mm. And when Robin told me about Hayden, Alabama podcast, and I was like, oh, okay, that's something yeah, you could, okay. Great. I didn't, this is Robin's cup of tea, not my cup of tea. But right. He started, I met these guys, I talked to them, we're going to do a podcast, fine. But before Hayden, Alabama podcast, Robin wasn't getting up out of a chair for days at a time. He was going to preach on Sunday, preach on Wednesday night. And that was about all he was doing. He wasn't hunting. He wasn't fishing. He about can't go hunting and fishing without him by himself anymore. So he has to wait till someone invites him or goes with him. But with Hayden, Alabama podcast came along, and he has started doing this. I see a smile on his face that, about all the time. He's got some pep in his step. Comments, I was really worried about some of the comments when I first started Hayden, Alabama, the podcast, and I started, said some things.
Yeah, there are some people that are ugly.
All right, they said some things, and I was really worried about him, but he has taken it with stride. The blink, that's why he does not blink. It's part of his Parkinson. His muscles just don't work, and he's taken that, and he calls himself Blink Brother Blink all the time now, And so he is, Hayden, Alabama podcast has been a blessing. And the people commenting and everything has been a blessing for us. And I'm thankful that God, when something closes, God opens up something else. And he's going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be all right.
Thank y'all so much.
All right. Man, I don't want to cry.
And another thing about our marriage is he's the emotional one in the marriage. He gets all sensitive. Yeah. And I don't do that.
Right.
So Robin a lot of times says, I'm the woman in this relationship. And I'm like, well, I was raised by my dad. So that says a lot. But we're going to be okay. He's done great. And when he gets down, he just keeps getting up. As he says, he puts one britch's leg on in the morning at a time.
Mm.
And as I say, he hangs in there like a hair in a biscuit.
Yep. Well, I tell you this, while Robin's composing himself, Shane and I, we've talked about this so many times, but I think it's fitting to talk about it now to those who don't have the behind the scenes. That's what we forget. We forget that people don't ride around in a truck with us. They only see what we put out once a week. Yeah. I think Robin was a godsend for us. And what has been amazing and what we've talked about so many times is the outpouring of love from you guys.
Amen.
For Brother Robin.
Yeah.
We're just baffled. Robin's picture or Robin's face is in a video.
They're clicking.
They're clicking. And they're going to watch every second of it and hang on to every word. Now, I'll say this. In my opinion, we've had a lot of storytellers on the show. Mm-hmm. Robin's right. The master of metaphor. He describes things and you feel like you're right there with him in the moment.
Yeah.
And he is always going to gut punch you with some part of that story that you can't see coming. And he really is. I think I say this with full confidence. Robin's one of the best storytellers in America today,
mm-hmm.
without a doubt. And I'll never forget the phone call that we had with him on your front porch. And I knew, it was just like God told us in that moment, there was no question. We didn't question it one bit. I told Shane, I said,
to go to Mississippi.
We got to go to Mississippi. Robin's something special.
Yep.
And we didn't know. But God, and just like, man, God is all, and that, man, this is what the scripture's about today. Unplanned. This is how God works. Y'all don't believe in God? Look, y'all gonna find out. The scripture time is exactly this. That's the message of the scripture, is how we don't know when God's working on the other side. We feel it on our side sometimes, but we have no idea what God's doing on the other side. But I'm gonna let Brother Robin say whatever. He's got his composure. I'm going to just say whatever you want to say, Brother Robin, but I am very excited about this piece of scripture that we got today. I can't wait. Go ahead, Rob.
I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your prayers. And I really do appreciate them. And find somebody to love. Find somebody and let that stuff, like a rummy ace, let that stuff go.
So if we play tonight, if it's played on a woman.
If it ain't but five. There
40 years later, I win again. You
finally won.
I win again.
And you can thank the Alabama podcast right. for just
solving that issue that we had in our marriage.
Counseling worked
right.
again.
Yeah.
Let that stuff go. Life's too short to hang on to anger. You make a decision every day whether to hang on to anger or hang on to blessing. I suggest hang on to blessing.
And
find things like a Hayden Alabama podcast.
No, Rob, thank you, buddy.
And with you know, all those stories that he's already told before, like I said, they're pretty much true. So we've had an adventurous life.
Amen.
And but I made a decision a long, long time ago that I could either stay mad at Robin all the time, or I could love Robin and laugh at the fun times and you know, be with him through the hard times. And so that was a decision that I made.
I think my wife and you need, y'all are going to get along just fine.
Yep. Made a decision a long time ago that, you know, that I control my own happiness. I control my own emotions.
You hold the key.
I hold the key. That's my saying. I hold the key. And now we've had a few more little arguments along in our marriage life.
Just a little bit.
But the one thing is we always know we're going to be with one another. That's not a question asked, and that's what we're going to do. You're going to get through it.
You got anything else, Brother Blink, before we get the word out?
I just say if you're thinking about someone right now, prayer really works.
Sure.
It really, really works. Keep lifting people up. I thank you for your prayers. I ask you to keep on praying for me. But pray for somebody, because it really works.
Amen.
Well, let's turn to the word real quick. I'm going to go ahead and warn you. It's a little bit of a lengthy passage, but we got to get the fullness of it to talk about what we just had happen. This is in the book of Acts, chapter 10. Starting in verse 1. In Caesarea there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming towards him. "Cornelius," the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. "What is it, sir?" he asked the angel, and the angel replied, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying with Simon, a tanner, who lives near the seashore." As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa. The next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. It was about noon, and he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." "No, Lord," Peter declared, "I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean." But the voice spoke again, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." The same vision was repeated 3 times. Then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. Peter was very perplexed. What could the vision mean? Just then, the men sent by Cornelius found Simon's house. Standing outside the gate, they asked if a man named Simon Peter was staying there. Cornelius is a Gentile, a non-Jew. But he's praying to God. He's giving gifts to the poor. He's trying to do everything that he can do. And an angel visits him and tells him to go to Simon Peter, who is a Jew, who is one of Jesus' inner three of his 12 disciples. The problem that you see is when God gave Peter the vision, Peter doubted it. And he
didn't know God was working on the other side.
He could not see how God was telling him to do something that he thought God in his word had said not to do. The Jews were not to mix with Gentiles. It just wasn't supposed to happen. And as Peter did, he denied Jesus 3 times. In this passage, he questioned God 3 times on what God had told him. But God persisted. And I think the reason is what we just talked about a minute ago. Peter couldn't fathom that God was working on the other side. But God had already been working. God had gone ahead of him. And Cornelius was obedient the first time. All Cornelius had to hear it was 1 time. And he sent the men, said, "Go do exactly what I got the vision to go and do." The takeaway for us is we can't throw rocks at Simon Peter for questioning and not being immediately obedient because I fail just like he does all the time. And the reason I fail oftentimes is because I can't see how God could be working on the other side of what he's called me to do. So if God's doing something, and I'm not saying that everything is of God, but if God is doing something in your life, he's calling you to do something. One thing that I want you to see in this passage is how God can already be working on the other side and you would have no idea about it. Just don't question and be obedient and see what God is doing and is going to do on the other side. This is a light example. Us and Robin, we didn't have a vision. We didn't have all these, nothing crazy happened. Just call the guy.
Yeah.
But we did, and look at the blessing on both sides. I think Robin's blessed us more than we've blessed him.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, I want to say one thing. This young lady right here did a good job.
She sure did to be so nervous. She's natural on the camera.
This pretended is, like she couldn't tell a
this
story.
This is not my cup. Robin likes the spotlight.
Uh-huh.
We figured that out. When he walks in a room, he wants to be the center of it.
He's on stage, ain't he?
Every room he walks in, matter what. But I, on the other hand, that's not me. But he has been asking me to do this. So
I'm glad you did.
We asked him the other day, he said, "Rob, how long have you been telling these stories?" He said, "I've been telling these stories all my whole life, but just now somebody's starting to listen."
And he asked me that the other day. He said, "I wonder why." I know why.
God.
It's God. Mm-hmm. It's God's timing. If he would have done this 20 years ago.
You're a little bit too proud.
Got a little spotlight. Oh, I need to tell you. I got to tell y'all this.
Uh-oh. Let's hear it.
not too long ago, it was probably the first, may have been the first comments, maybe the first podcast, I hear Robin looking at his phone. I hear him. And I said, right. He said, I said, Robin, what is it? He says, come here and look at this, Earl. And so I go over there and somebody commented that he was handsome.
Oh,
look at that.
Wanted to be his friend.
Mm-hmm.
And he said,
got him a little attention, didn't he?
Oh, he ate it up. But you know, that had been 20 years ago. I may not, because honey, if
yeah,
they
might not have been so funny.
If they want to be his friend now, come on. Yeah.
Come on, be your
Robin
friend.
Robin needs some more friends.
He needs some friends.
She may have wanted to be your friend and have your credit card number.
Well, yeah. She wouldn't go far.
Yeah, I heard that.
but yeah, this has been a blessing to Robin.
Thank y'all. Thank Absolutely. Y'all so much for listening to these. And thank you. We want to thank the listener.
Absolutely.
If without y'all, don't know this work.
That's right.
That's the truth.
Tell it. One thing about this, it goes without needing to be said. Earl, you've done signed up for another round.
Round two.
Because you got to come back and tell what you teased earlier.
I will come back for the first day because it takes both of us because he.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes both of us for that one because it's really unbelievable.
All right. Well, I guess this is a to-be-continued episode of the Hayden, Alabama podcast, but that's going to do it for tonight. This one. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Robin.
I'm Tracy Earle.
We'll see you next week.